Chapter 36. When we had at last convinced him that his story could be of no use to Jasper for what Dutch court, having once got hold of an English trader, would accept such an explanation, and, indeed, how, when, where could one hope to find proofs of such a tale, he made as if to tear his hair in handfuls, but, calming down, said, "Goodbye, then, gentlemen," and went out of the room so crushed that he seemed hardly able to put one foot before the other. That very night he committed suicide by cutting his throat in the house of a half-caste with whom he had been lodging since he came ashore from the wreck. That throat, I thought with a shudder, which could produce the tender, persuasive, manly, but fascinating voice which had aroused Jasper's ready compassion and had secured Freya's sympathy. Who could ever have supposed such an end in store for the impossible, gentle Schultz, with his idiosyncrasy of naive pilfering, so absurdly straightforward that, even in the people who had suffered from it, it aroused nothing more than a sort of amused exasperation. He was really impossible. His lot evidently should have been a half-starved, mysterious, but by no means tragic existence as a mild-eyed, inoffensive beachcomber on the fringe of native life. There are occasions when the irony of fate, which some people profess to discover in the working out of our lives, wears the aspect of crude and savage jesting. I shook my head over the manes of Schultz, and went on with my friend's letter. It told me how the brig on the reef, looted by the natives from the coast villages, acquired gradually the lamentable aspect, the gray ghastliness of a wreck, while Jasper, fading daily into a mere shadow of a man, strode brusquely all along the front with horribly lively eyes and a faint, fixed smile on his lips, to spend the day on a lonely spit of sand looking eagerly at her, as though he had expected some shape on board to rise up and make some sort of sign to him over the decaying bulwarks. The messmen were taking care of him as far as it was possible. The Bonito case had been referred to Batavia, where no doubt it would fade away in a fog of official papers. It was here trending to read all this. That active and zealous officer, Lieutenant Heemskerk, his air of sullen, darkly pained self-importance not lightened by the approval of his action conveyed to him unofficially, had gone on to take up his station in the Moluccas. Then, at the end of the bulky, kindly meant epistle, dealing with the island news of half a year at least, my friend wrote, "Couple of months ago old Nelson turned up here, arriving by the mail boat from Java. Came to see messmen, it seems. A rather mysterious visit, and extraordinarily short, after coming all that way. He stayed just 4 days at the Orange House, with apparently nothing in particular to do, and then caught the south-going steamer for the Straits. I remember people saying at one time that Alan was rather sweet on old Nelson's daughter, the girl that was brought up by Mrs. Harley, and then went to live with him at the Seven Isles group. Surely you remember old Nelson, remember old Nelson? Rather. The letter went on to inform me further that old Nelson, at least, remembered me, since some time after his flying visit to Macassar he had written to the messmen asking for my address in London. That old Nelson, or Nielsen, the note of whose personality was a profound, echoless irresponsiveness to everything around him, should wish to write, or find anything to write about to anybody, was in itself a cause for no small wonder. And to me, of all people, I waited with uneasy impatience for whatever disclosure could come from that naturally benighted intelligence. But my impatience had time to wear out before my eyes beheld old Nelson's trembling, painfully formed handwriting, senile and childish at the same time, on an envelope bearing a penny stamp and the postal mark of the Notting Hill office. I delayed opening it in order to pay the tribute of astonishment due to the event by flinging my hands above my head. So he had come home to England, to be definitely Nelson, or else was on his way home to Denmark, where he would revert forever to his original Nielsen. But old Nelson, or Nielsen, out of the tropics seemed unthinkable. And yet he was there, asking me to call. His address was at a boarding house in one of those Bayswater squares, once of leisure, which nowadays are reduced to earning their living. Somebody had recommended him there. I started to call on him on one of those January days in London, one of those wintry days composed of the four devilish elements, cold, wet, mud, and grime, combined with a particular stickiness of atmosphere that clings like an unclean garment to one's very soul. Yet on approaching his abode I saw, like a flicker far behind the soiled veil of the four elements, the wearisome and splendid glitter of a blue sea with the seven islets like minute specks swimming in my eye, the high red roof of the bungalow crowning the very smallest of them all. This visual reminiscence was profoundly disturbing. I knocked at the door with a faltering hand. Old Nelson, or Nielsen, got up from the table at which he was sitting with a shabby pocketbook full of papers before him. He took off his spectacles before shaking hands. For a moment neither of us said a word. Then, noticing me looking round somewhat expectantly, he murmured some words, of which I caught only daughter and Hong Kong, cast his eyes down, and sighed. His mustache, sticking all ways out, as of yore, was quite white now. His old cheeks were softly rounded, with some color in them. Strangely enough, that something childlike always noticeable in the general contour of his physiognomy had become much more marked. Like his handwriting, he looked childish and senile. He showed his age most in his unintelligently furrowed, anxious forehead and in his round, innocent eyes, which appeared to me weak and blinking and watery, or was it that they were full of tears? To discover old Nelson fully informed upon any matter, whatever, was a new experience. And after the first awkwardness had worn off, he talked freely, with, now and then, a question to start him going, whenever he lapsed into silence, which he would do suddenly, clasping his hands on his waistcoat in an attitude which would recall to me the east veranda, where he used to sit talking quietly, and puffing out his cheeks in what seemed now old, very old days. He talked in a reasonable, somewhat anxious tone. No. We did not know anything for weeks. Out of the way like that, we couldn't, of course. No mail service to the Seven Isles. But one day I ran over to Banca in my big sailing boat to see whether there were any letters, and saw a Dutch paper. But it looked only like a bit of marine news. English brig Bonito gone ashore outside Macassar Roads. That was all. I took the paper home with me, and showed it to her. I will never forgive him. Apostrophe, she cries with her old spirit. My dear, apostrophe, I said, you are a sensible girl. The best man may lose a ship. But what about your health? Apostrophe, I was beginning to be frightened at her looks. She would not let me talk even of going to Singapore before. But, really, such a sensible girl couldn't keep on objecting forever. Do what you like, Papa, apostrophe, she says. Rather a job, that. Had to catch a steamer at sea, but I got her over all right. There, doctors, of course. Fever. Anemia. Put her to bed. Two or three women very kind to her. Naturally in our papers the whole story came out before long. She reads it to the end, lying on the couch, then hands the newspaper back to me, whispers Heemskerk, apostrophe, and goes off into a faint. He blinked at me for quite a long time, his eyes running full of tears again. Next day, he began, without any emotion in his voice, she felt stronger, and we had a long talk. She told me everything. Here old Nelson, with his eyes cast down, gave me the whole story of the Heemskerk episode in Freya's words, then went on in his rather jerky utterance, and looking up innocently. My dear, apostrophe, I said, you have behaved in the main like a sensible girl. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have been horrid, apostrophe, she cries, and he is breaking his heart over there. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, she was too sensible, not to see she wasn't in a state to travel. But I went. She told me to go. She was being looked after very well. Anemia. Getting better, they said. He paused. You did see him? I murmured. Oh, yes, I did see him, he started again, talking in that reasonable voice, as though he were arguing a point. Did see him. I came upon him. I sunk an inch into his head. Nothing but skin on the bones of his face, a skeleton in dirty white clothes. That's what he looked like. How Freya. But she never did not really. He was sitting there, the only live thing for miles along that coast, on a drift log washed up on the shore. They had clipped his hair in the hospital, and it had not grown again. He stared, holding his chin in his hand, and with nothing on the sea between him and the sky but that wreck. When I came up to him, he just moved his head a bit. Is that you, old man? Apostrophe says he liked that. If you had seen him, you would have understood at once how impossible it was for Freya to have ever loved that man. Well, well, I don't say. She might have something. She was lonely, you know. But really to go away with him. Never. Madness. She was too sensible. I began to reproach him gently. And by he turns on me. Right to you. What about? Come to her. What with? If I had been a man I would have carried her off, but she made a happy child, of me. Tell her that the day the only thing I had belonging to me in the world perished on this reef I discovered, that I had no power over her. Has she come here with you? He shouts, blazing at me suddenly with his hollow eyes. I shook my head. Come with me, indeed. Anemia. Aha. You see? Go away, then, old man, and leave me alone here with that ghost, he says, jerking his head at the wreck of his brig. Mad. It was getting dusk. I did not care to stop any longer all by myself with that man in that lonely place. I was not going to tell him of Freya's illness. Anemia. What was the good? Mad. And what sort of husband would he have made, anyhow, for a sensible girl like Freya? Why, even my little property I could not have left them. The Dutch authorities would never have allowed an Englishman to settle there. It was not sold then. My man Mamat, you know, was looking after it for me. Later on I let it go for a tenth of its value to a Dutch half-caste. But never mind. It was nothing to me then. Yes, I went away from him. I caught the return mail boat. I told everything to Freya. He's mad, I said. And, my dear, the only thing he loved was his brig. Perhaps, she says to herself, looking straight away her eyes were nearly as hollow as his perhaps it is true. Yes. I would never allow him any power over me. Old Nelson paused. I sat fascinated, and feeling a little cold in that room with a blazing fire. So you see, he continued, she never really cared for him. Much too sensible. I took her away to Hong Kong. Change of climate, they said. Oh, these doctors. My God. Winter time. There came 10 days of cold mists and wind and rain. Pneumonia. But look here. We talked a lot together. Days and evenings. Who else had she? She talked a lot to me, my own girl. Sometimes she would laugh a little. Look at me, and laugh a little, I shuddered. He looked up vaguely, with a childish, puzzled moodiness. She would say, I did not really mean to be a bad daughter to you, Papa. And I would say, of course, my dear. You could not have meant it. She would lie quiet and then say, I wonder? And sometimes, I've been really a coward, she would tell me. You know, sick people they say things. And so she would say too. I've been conceited, headstrong, capricious. I sought my own gratification. I was selfish or afraid. But sick people, you know, they say anything. And once, after lying silent almost all day, she said, yes. Perhaps, when the day came I would not have gone. Perhaps. I don't know, she cried. Draw the curtain, Papa. Shut the sea out. It reproaches me with my folly. He gasped and paused. So you see, he went on in a murmur. Very ill indeed. Pneumonia. Very sudden. He pointed his finger at the carpet, while the thought of the poor girl, vanquished in her struggle with three men's absurdities, and coming at last, to doubt her own self, held me in a very anguish of pity. You see yourself, he began again in a downcast manner. He could not have really. She mentioned you several times. Good friend. Sensible man. So I wanted to tell you myself, let you know the truth. A fellow like that. How could it be? She was lonely. And perhaps for a while. Mere nothing. There could never have been a question of love for my Freya, such a sensible girl, man. I cried, rising upon him wrathfully. Don't you see that she died of it? He got up too. Oh, no. He stammered, as if angry. He doctors. Pneumonia. Low state. The inflammation of the... they told me. No, he did not finish the word. It ended in a sob. He flung his arms out in a gesture of despair, giving up his ghastly pretense with a low, heart-rending cry. And I thought that she was so sensible. End of the Project Gutenberg ebook. Twixt Land and Sea, this file should be named TWXLS10. TTXT or TWXLS10. Zip corrected editions of our ebooks, get a new number, TWXLS11. TTXT versions based on separate sources get new letter, TWXLS10A TTXT. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as public domain in the U.S., unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we usually do not keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. We are now trying to release all our ebooks 1 year in advance of the official release dates, leaving time for better editing. Please be encouraged to tell us about any error or corrections, even years after the official publication date. Please note neither this listing nor its contents are final till midnight of the last day of the month of any such announcement. The official release date of all Project Gutenberg ebooks is at midnight, Central Time, of the last day of the stated month. A preliminary version may often be posted for suggestion, comment and editing by those who wish to do so. Most people start at our websites at http Gutenberg Nnet or http promo Nnet page. These websites include award-winning information about Project Gutenberg, including how to donate, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter free. Those of you who want to download any ebook before announcement can get to them as follows, and just download by date. This is also a good way to get them instantly upon announcement, as the indexes our catalogers produce obviously take a while after an announcement goes out in the Project Gutenberg newsletter. HTTP www.iabiblio or GutenbergETEXT05 or FTP. FTP. Iabiblio. Org Pub Docs Books GutenbergETEXT05. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.